Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Cal Fritzy. I'm flying solo tonight. Tim and myself, we do our co-hosting shows on Monday, as you know. And this is not going to be the regular Cal Fritzy gets all nestled over Islam. No, we're here for a specific reason, and that is to honor the memory of our very, very, very dear friend, Lisa Ann Vanderleest, who passed away Monday at 10:15 p.m. That was really hard. It's really hard when these things happen all of a sudden because, of course, I'm going to be rather personal about it because Ann and I were friends, dear friends, for a number of years, and there was no such thing as geography between us. Did not exist between the two of us. We were simply friends. We would Skype together quite regularly. We knew that Anne was ill. She suffered debilitating spinal issues. But what ultimately took our Annie away from us was an embolism, a pulmonary embolism, and she fell into a coma, and she slipped away on Monday. My last missive with Anne was Facebook, where she said, "Oh, I've got some news for you. Give me a Skype." And I did, and I got Roger instead. And it's like, well, where's Anne? She's in the hospital. She's in a coma, and she's unresponsive. So you can imagine my shock, because, you know, you take so much for advantage. You just assume that they're going to be there. Your friends are going to be there. You just assume that you're going to pick up the phone. There was a point when my Skype was out, so I had to phone Ann on my landline. "Hey, Ann, it's me." "What are you doing calling me on the landline? It's costing you a fortune, isn't it?" "Nope, I got unlimited North American long-distance calling." "Oh, okay. Are you good for a few hours for a chat?" And that's how me and Ann rolled. See, once you started a conversation with Ann, expect to sit down for a mug of tea and sit around the fireplace and enjoy the conversation with her. We would have quite the animated conversations at times, and Anne really appreciated my work, as I am a self-described counter-jihadist. I'm the infidel that Anne was proud of. I'm the infidel your Ema mourns about. And Anne would, oh my God, we would get on the Skype sometimes, and Anne would be like, she's freaking out about something, and she's sending me articles, and she's sending me this, and she's sending me that, and the other thing. And then I would get animated about something, and I'm Skyping her, and I'm doing the same thing. And she's, "Calm down, Cal. What are you trying to tell me? Come on, what's this article? What's this? What's this story? Come on, come on." So, you know, when you have that sort of connection and it's not there any longer, it affects you, of course, but what it does is that it puts a black hole somewhere inside of you, and you just hope that that void will eventually fill up. My black void is still there, but it's slowly getting smaller and smaller until it disappears, because Anne would only have it that way. I am so fortunate that I have been surrounded by Anne's friends as well, and that includes Roger and Marianne and Nick. Anne was a wonderful, wonderful person, and I think I have Roger here, and I'm going to bring him on in a moment, but I want to share with you who Anne actually was, okay? She was a mom. She was the mother to Sandy and Dan, and she was a grandmother. She loved her pets. She loved her dog Jasmine and Lily. She loved music. Oh, she would send me some YouTube clips and say, "Hey, what do you think about this for the show, Red Fox Blogger?" And, well, it's coming from Anne, so I think I've got my marching orders. Yeah, so I would download them. But she loved life, and she loved painting. She loved doing her plaques for all of us and her signs. She made some beautiful ones. If you scroll up into the show notes, not only are you going to see a picture of Anne there, but you're going to see some of the signs that she made for me that hang proudly in my kitchen, in my country kitchen. See, these signs, they were designed that you would put them on a post and put them at the front of your house, but I could never bring myself to do that because they were just so beautiful. I said to Anne, "I'm not putting these outside. They're going to get weathered. And I'm going to put them in my country kitchen on my big wall." And so I did. And so if you scroll up in the show highlights, you're going to see that. But one thing, I was getting ready to do the show today, and I was doing the Skypey thingies and getting ready to contact my friends on other radio shows to pair up with them and say, oh, okay, we have the show today. What do you want to do today? And the Skype, Anna's still on my Skype, and that little number one was there. So I thought, oh, maybe that's Roger getting in touch with me. And so I clicked on it, and no, it was a reminder from Skype to inform me that today is Anne's birthday. Anne would have been 52 today. So it's things like that, you know, when you lose somebody that you loved so much. Today is Anne's birthday. My gosh, jeez, God. But we are here to celebrate Anne's life. Anne, as you know, was Jewish, and her big dream was to go to Israel. And I entered a contest, actually. I tried to win a trip to Israel for Anne. I didn't win it, but I told Anne, and she said that, Cal, God love you, but I couldn't even get off my bed, never mind sit on a plane and get to Israel. Anne didn't want a service. She did not want anything like that. All Anne wanted was to be remembered, and which we are doing. She has since been cremated. I'm kind of hoping that some of her ashes do make it to Israel so that Anne ultimately got to Israel. I'm going to bring on this caller now. I think this is Roger, and I'm going to bring him on right now. Hi, Roger. One 661, are you here? Okay. That's okay. I'll put them back on hold for a second. There might be audio issues. But I want to say hi to everybody in the chat room. I can't type with one hand, but Agador, Batgirl, Bigfoot, Colleen Gray, Doc, Jeff, Frank, numerous guests, Golf Dogs. I want to thank you guys for being here. I want to thank Holger, Jenny Stewart, Roger, Susan Randalls, and I want to thank my sweet Sue from New Mexico joining me. There's not enough words to convey what it's like when you find a friend, and the one in Anne. This lady, she was also a little bit of a brat. Do you know how much of a brat she was? And, oh, my gosh, we would get into so much mischief together, especially in the Blog Talk Radio chat rooms where we would have our snowball fights. About 2 years ago, we had a snowball fight in Adrian Morgan's chat room, and that was when he hosted Global Security Matters right on Blog Talk, not Blog, well, it was on Blog Talk Radio, but the station was Radio Jihad Network. And Anne and I, we were going at it, like you wouldn't believe, and we were thwap, boom, incoming, hey, that hurt, you got me, ha-ha, I hit behind the pole stand. And Adrian Morgan, he stopped his show. He said, Anne and Kel, will you two knock it off in my chat room? I guess we were leaving a soppy mess there. But, yeah, that was the kind of mischief that Anne and I would get up to we created all sorts of mischief on all sorts of chat rooms on Blog Talk Radio, and of course on Facebook, where we would exchange snowball fight pictures and stuff like that. We were incorrigible, is what we were. This went on. We held the record, and as a matter of fact, Anne and myself, we were talking one night, and I said, Anne, I think that we should enter the world's longest cyber snowball fight into the Guinness Book of World Records. And once again, if you scroll up, you're going to see a little picture there. Snowballs. Yeah, that was Anne and myself. But I do think I have Roger back, and I'm going to bring him on right now.
All right.
Hi, Roger.
I hear the unmuted. Do you
there
have my voice
are.
Now? There we go.
Hey.
Oh, we're having a Blog Talk Radio night tonight. Yeah, it's given me
a
issues.
We are.
I can't hear it over my computer, and yeah, I've had a heck of a time. But I'm here now.
Oh, Roger, I am so grateful that you called in. And people, just to apprise you, Roger and Anne were partners in the realm of everything. Roger was very instrumental in helping out our Anne with her apparatus around her house. As you know, that Anne was incapacitated. And Roger and Mullet, and that would be Nick, were helping Anne out around her house. But it went deeper than that. Roger and Anne were soulmates. There was a pure love between these two partners. And Roger, I'm so glad that you're here tonight.
Oh, thank you, Gil. Oh boy, yeah, it was a rough time for me. You know, I got there last Wednesday night. Yeah, 6-hour delay due to storms getting in, and got to her house about 7 o'clock last Wednesday night, and we got to meet in person, hug, hold, kiss, and Nick started making dinner, and I started unpacking everything that I had shipped up to her to do the lift. And after we had ate, you know, me and Nick started the install. We worked till 3 o'clock in the morning that night, and we continued through Thursday, Friday, and I've got a letter, or my text wrote down here, so that I've got something to follow, so that I can, you know, start with my history of how I met Lisa Ann Vanderlees. So if that's all right, I'll just start rolling through that, and we'll go from there.
Oh, please do, Roger.
Okay. It was about middle of January in 2012. A friend of mine told me about the Rabbi's Shul Study Hall. So I started to listen in, and I got to know Lisa Ann, and we were friended on Facebook within like 2 weeks, and we talked frequently for about 5 months, and then proceeded towards talking every day. She loved my pics from Israel, because I went to Israel in 2011, and she just loved my pics. And other ones that I was putting up from jobs that I do and things around my farm. And we would talk, and she would just say, send pictures. You know, I gave her a window. I gave her a window to the world outside of her house through that. And then we started to Skype video call each other. And that got to be about at least one time per month that we would call each other on Skype. And, you know, whether it was on Facebook chat or Skype, we shared our lives from our youth through our adulthood, from, you know, the cars we drove, roller skating and music, our faiths, even though I'm Christian and she's Jewish, our politics, current events, and, you know, we really had a bond going. And we knew, some of us knew that she really needed help. And last November of 2013, Tim and Susan Randalls and another and I started on the path of putting together a lift system to get her from her bed to her wheelchair that would let her buzz across the house and get from her wheelchair to her toilet. There was another unit I built for her in the bathroom. And once completed and painted, I scheduled my flight to Wisconsin, and I shipped everything I built to be there about a week before I got there. So I got there last Wednesday, about 7 o'clock p.m., Wednesday, February 12th, and we hugged and kissed, and Nick made dinner, and I unpacked everything, and we worked till 3 in the morning. And Thursday, we finished most of the install, and Ann and I had a little huggle, snug kiss time. And Friday, we used the lift and was able to get her to her chair. And she buzzed around the house. She was thrilled. And she got to the kitchen and opened the fridge door and the freezer door, looking in there. Ooh, yummy! Getting ready. Yeah, we had meals planned for the whole time I was there. I took steaks and hamburger up that was raised here on my farm.
And, oh, so she made you cook too, did she?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep, I took care of, I really took care of her when I was there, yeah. From running water over to her and helping her with her changing needs since she was, stuck in the bed, couldn't get to the bathroom. I knew I had to doctor up and man up. I knew what I was walking into. And,
well, I know that, one
that
thing.
That was hard.
That
was a hard thing, but, I just...
Yeah.
I did it. And
I knew that you and Ann were so close, and that you and I and myself sometimes would have conversations on Facebook, for example. And I just knew that there was a very, very special bond between you and Ann and myself, and that the three of us seemed to be like
Mother and daughter. Oh, yeah. We got a bond.
When you met Ann, you were saying that it was pretty much innocuous because you went to Rabbi A's Seven Beggars, House of Seven Beggars, and you just met her there.
Right.
And when I met her, at Gaudi Edelman's show.
Okay.
And it was kind of like, hi, how are you? Hi, how are you doing? What's your name? Oh, my name's so-and-so. And it just, years later, it was just, can you Skype me right now? Okay.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Yeah.
It's just the kind of friendship that we developed, you, me, and Ann, and Marianne. And Anne made friends wherever she went. That is one thing, is that when you were in trouble, she was right there. And you know what? It's kind of like if you dissed me, you dissed Anne, and they knew it. And Anne was loyal, one of the most loyal people I could imagine. And that she never really left your side. You could hang up from Skype and go to bed and wake up in the morning and put on your coffee, but Ann seemed to have a way about her. She had her own special way in that she was always beside you. And I was always in a frame of mind that if I was going under anything dire, I could just pick up the Skype and call Ann. It was not unusual for us to Skype at 2 o'clock in the morning sometimes.
Oh, yeah. That's about the time that you and me and Ann had a three-way Skype call in the middle of the night.
Exactly. Oh, exactly. And that's it, in that she was such a very, very special person that way. She did not want a memorial, but too bad, Ann. I'm getting it. Oh, and by the way, Roger, it's snowing here today, and guess what's going on? I'm getting pinged in the back of the head by snowballs. Ann's winning the snowball fight.
She's still getting you.
Yeah, I know.
What?
Oh, gosh.
Incoming.
Incoming. The whack.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let me pick up with Saturday morning. So that's on Saturday morning. I woke up, and that was about 4 o'clock in the morning. And, I took care of her needs. I had to change her, and we talked for a while, and then she took a nap for about from 6 till 9. And when she woke up, we talked a little bit more, and she says, I want some apples with honey on them. So I went into the kitchen, and I cut up an apple, orange, and banana, and we got our honey from our beloved Moody Crystal.
Oh, yeah.
From Muddy Acres. And
Muddy
Acres. Muddy Acres honey over top and a little bit of grape juice and grapefruit juice and mixed that all up. And Ann and I ate that while we were listening to the rabbi on his show on Saturday, and Ann was saying her prayers along with the rabbi. So then she wanted me to post the pictures of my lift installation on Facebook. And neither my camera nor hers were being accepted by her computer. And we fought with it and fought with it. And by then, Nick got up. Nick runs, he's got funny work hours. So he's getting up around 11 o'clock in the morning. So Nick's up, and he tried to work with the cameras, and it wasn't working. So we just decided I'll post the pictures once I get back home to Ohio. So Nick and I start doing the final bolting of her lift installation. And she's on the computer, and Nick and I are working, and she coughed, and then, she was saying something. And Nick's up on the ladder, and he looks down, and she's turning blue. He yelled, Lisa, and jumped off the ladder, and I ran around the house and jumped over with Nick, and we pulled her from their bed down to the floor and started the CPR. And we, I did the mouth-to-mouth, and Nick did the chest compressions. And he was on the phone with 911. Telling us what to do, and within a few minutes we had a team of 12 people there, and they jumped in and took over and rushed her over to the hospital, and she never came out of it. And
I think that what you and Nick did was heroic. And that you were right there for her. Like,
I was right there, yeah.
I can't even imagine, because it would have been devastating if you weren't there, because
Nick would have been there alone.
Wait, there would have been her caregiver.
Nick would have been there alone.
Have been there at the time either. Yeah.
And I would
what you did.
Heard it over the internet at some point in time. We'd all be sitting here waiting to find out what happened.
Yeah, I'm glad that you got her in a facility where she could hang on, and that her family could travel down and be with her in
just,
her
just see her,
final hours,
even though she wasn't awake. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the important thing, because she otherwise would have been alone, and that's not something that anybody would want to wish upon people, dying alone, and didn't. And because of you and Nick and what you did is that you got her in a facility in which her family could get down to the hospital and hold her hand and send her off peacefully. So I am so grateful to you, Roger, for doing that, to you and Nick for doing that.
I had 64 hours at her house with her.
Yeah.
From the time that I arrived to the time that she had that pulmonary embolism, I had 64 hours with her. And to give her love and hope and joy, hugs, snuggles, kisses, and there's those of you out there that knew what I was doing, that I was going there to install this lift mechanism for her. And some of you out there are just hearing now about it and are in shock. But,
well, you know, this is the reality. This is the realities of what happens with our
we're
friends
all busy
and
in our lives
with our family
and
everything. Yeah. So,
but
what I'm going
everybody out there can find a glimmer of hope somehow through this.
Yeah.
As we're rotating through space on this big blue ball that we call Earth, you know, mankind has turned this into an insane asylum. But there are still people here that are willing to go full force, travel 600 miles to help someone they never met in need, and put their funds into it.
Yeah. Absolutely, Roger. What I want to do is I've got quite a few people in my studio, and if they would like to come on, just press 1 on your dial pad, and we'll bring you on right away. But we do have someone here, Roger, and this is 3513. I'm going to bring him or her on right now, Roger.
Okay. I'll hold right here with you because I'm listening to
Thanks,
the phone.
Roger.
Yeah.
3513, hello.
Hi, I'm Jenny. Roger knows me.
Hi,
hey,
Jenny.
I'm an aunt for Roger. And Roger knows, talking about giving hope. Roger's one of the few people that knows and gave hope to me whenever I was recovering and I was going through cancer treatment. Because she didn't quite say she was a prophet, but she said she knew things and that I was going to be okay. And the treatment wasn't that bad. And whenever I was at home, I talked to her on Facebook. And I talked to Roger on Facebook. But Anne would, she was so comforting. And she told me if I ever had a down day, just to talk to her, you know. And it wasn't till after I'd known her for a couple of months that I actually knew that this person that was giving me hope couldn't move.
You didn't know that at the time, eh?
No. Because she hadn't told me yet, and Roger didn't tell me because, you know, that's something, whenever I asked him why he didn't tell me, he said, that's something she needs to tell you. It's not my place, you know. And I became kind of close to her whenever they auctioned for her to have a back surgery, you know, to raise money for that. And she was so excited whenever it was over. And she said she still had some funds. And I asked her one time, and she said, well, she was going to have to wait a little bit. It was on hold. You know, I talked to her about, well, whenever it's done and you're where you can, we need to go shopping. And she laughed, and she said, yeah, we'll do that. You know, she didn't see. She saw the possibilities of what could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't see it just for herself. She saw for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is devastating for me because she helped me with my recovery. And she, you know.
Are you fully in remission now, Jenny?
Yes. my cancer is gone. They can't find a trace of where it was, much less, you know. And I'm also a Christian, but she told me that we were sisters. You know, she didn't see. She's one of those people she didn't see. She saw me as another soul, not as a logo attached to me.
Jenny,
and
exactly.
I will miss her.
Yeah, that is one thing about Anne, Jenny, in that she had a way about her, in that she encompassed everybody in her heart. I don't know. I swear Anne is like an angel, in which she had four hearts, and because she found so much room in her heart for all of us, and she was tireless that way. She was a real... I would say that she was a bit of an inspirational coach, and she certainly was to me. And I would Skype her, and I would say, Anne, I'm going through this, and I don't know what to do about it. And it was usually work-related, but I would be banging my head on my desk and going, Anne, I'm getting frustrated here. I don't know what to do with this thing or that. And she would be like, Cal, calm down. She was really, really good that way, Jenny.
Yes, she was, and that's the person I got to know. I've only known her, I only knew her from about as long, a little bit longer than Roger met her before I did, but I met him through the shul, her through the shuls and Roger, and, you know, she, to me, I was, actually, just the other day, I was in the bookstore trying to figure out if I'd learned enough crocheting to make her a prayer shawl. So, you know, and I was thinking for Hanukkah next year, mail it to her. And today, whenever I got home from work, and Roger sent me the message asking me, and I told him I've been working for the past 2 weeks, so I haven't really been on. And he told me, you know, I started crying then, and I'm trying to fight back tears so that I don't sound like a bawling baby.
Jenny, no worries about that. One thing we're doing tonight is that we're celebrating her life. This woman gave us 52 years of love, devotion, and commitment. And she would be so proud to know that she touched our souls in such a way, and that we carry forth with left a little torch in our hearts. I'm very proud to honor Anne tonight. I know that she did not want any recognition in terms of a formal funeral or memorial, but Anne, suck it up, baby. I'm doing it.
Well,
but... That's so true, Jenny. I understand what you're talking about.
You know, you were talking about how Roger gave everybody hope, but he only gave back, you know. And not to take anything away from Roger, because Roger's a wonderful person. But he gave to her what she'd been giving to anybody who actually befriended her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't have really a house to put one of her signs up at, and I was going to ask her to make me one soon, because we just got a place in Maryland. But I didn't get to get one of her signs, but
yeah.
I advertised them for, because I wanted my friends that I grew up with to become friends with her. You know, and to get to know her. And I guess, you know, in God's infinite wisdom, he puts the people in our life that he wants there, and he shares them with who he wants to share them with, not who we want to share them with.
Absolutely.
And she was one.
Oh, Jenny,
and,
yeah.
You know, and she was just one of those people. She had so much love. She couldn't go
anywhere she wanted
to, but she had so much love to share that I'm
pretty sure
her house has an ambiance in it even now.
Yeah. Whenever I got whiny or complainy and I felt like hanging things up, Anne would always say to me, suck it up, Kel. Come on. You're a big girl. You're a good girl. You're strong. Come on, Kel. Keep going. So the memorial and favor returned. But, oh, Jenny, oh, God, your conveyance of your memories with our sweet Anne is just wonderful. And one thing, like people, if you scroll up, there's some photos of Anne and her artwork, what she did. And there's also my homage in that Lisa Ann Vanderlees was a staunch patriot, a true friend, loving mother and grandmother, artist, lover of animals, and my snowball buddy. She was also my confidant, a keeper of my fears, hopes, aspirations, and secrets. That was our Anne. Hey, Jenny?
Yes, it was. And I'm going to let you put me in the queue so that somebody else can share their memories with her.
Yeah, actually, what I'm going to do, I don't want you to hang up. I'm just going to put you, I'm going to keep you here, but I'll put you in the green room. But I want to play a song.
You're hanging here with me.
Okay.
Yeah, you're hanging with Roger and myself, Jenny, so don't go away. I want to play a song right now, and I was asking people about what music do you think that Anne would like us to play? Because, believe me, this woman was an unbelievably lover of music. Like, no, her musical repertoire of likes knew new bounds. So I was saying, well, I was asking Roger, I said, what do you think we should do? You know, we got to narrow this down because I really want to do this beautiful Anne. I want to play her favorite songs. And one thing I didn't know already, and Roger reinforced, is that she loved Colleen Gray. And her favorite song by Colleen Gray was Say a Prayer.
Say a Prayer.
And, so we're going to play that right now, Roger.
Colleen
we're
Gray
get
is in
back
our
here.
Set room right now.
Yep. Absolutely. There you go. We're going to see everybody back here in 5 minutes.
Say a prayer.
And hi, everybody. And you're listening to a very special program at the Red Fox Blogger. I'm your host, Cal Fritzy. We are honoring our dear friend, Lisa Ann Vanderleest, who passed away Monday. I cannot convey enough how much this woman touched my heart. And Anne's heart was much bigger than mine. Anne's heart encompassed a universe, and I don't think that I could ever hold a candle against her. Anne was not only a Blog Talk Radio chat buddy or a Facebook buddy. She was a friend, and I could speak with her pretty much about anything. And I don't know what words can do her justice, but one thing I can do is I want to share with you what a friend is. You know, this is Anne. Friendship isn't about whom you have known the longest. It's about who came and never left your side. Friendship is when people know all about you, but they like you anyway. And Anne sure did. She knew my warts, but she liked me anyway. Friends pick you up when you fall down. And if they can't pick you up, they sit down and they listen for a while. Friends won't let you do stupid things alone. Oh, snowball fight. Friends keep an eye out for you, and they have your back. Friends defend your honor and protect your integrity. Friends keep you warm and give you a boost. Anne was all of these things. Anne was mine, and she was yours because she made you hers. That was Anne. When you lose somebody so close to you, like, geography doesn't matter anymore. There's no such thing as geographical differences because we connect. The one thing that keeps us together is what is in our hearts. I may not have ever met Anne physically, but I sure met Anne emotionally, and I met Anne in a cohesive sense, in that we could have conversations and we could talk, and she would help me out when I was in a bit of a spell. Maybe it might be something as innocuous as trying to put a show together. And I would Skype with her, and I would say, Anne, I'm having an issue with this topic. What do you think? And she was right there, and she would spend all the time in the world with me. So it wasn't about my not sitting right beside her, because you know what? In spirit, of course, she was always sitting beside me. We were right there, sitting beside each other, going over things, and Anne was helping me out, and losing one of my best friends within the Blog Talk Radio family is a hard pill to swallow. But I'm going to bring Jenny, and I'm going to bring Roger back on. But Jenny, what do you think about that?
I think you're right. I think she was. Well, I just think she was awesome, and I think the song that you played fit her in everything.
Yeah. I'm going to bring Roger back in too as well right now, Jenny, and I think Roger can totally relate to that as well.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, I'd met a lot of the Blog Talk Radio family through Anne, and I believe it was on a Friday night when we were listening to Adrian Morgan, and Kelly, your show was going to be following that night, and you were all nervous.
Oh, yeah.
And I took you to the side, and I gave you a pep talk.
Oh,
for your
Roger.
First show.
Oh, my gosh, I forgot about that. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, let me apprise you. I was embarking on my very, very, very first show about 2 years ago, and I was at Adrienne Morgan's place, and Roger was there, and Anne was there, and oh my gosh, yeah, oh gosh, I was so nervous, and Roger said, "Hey, honey, you're gonna be fine." I remember that.
Yeah. Yep, and I remember you writing back to me right after the show. It's like, Roger, thank you for the pep talk, and thank you for being there with me through the show.
You helped me through it. Oh, Jenny, it was priceless because it's like I'm following Adrienne Morgan like, oh, gosh, how do I even keep up with this? But, and hello, my name is Kel Fritzy. Oh yeah, I got in touch with Ann and I got in touch with Roger. It's like, oh my God, what am I doing? What did I get myself into? It's like that Talking head song. This is not your beautiful show. This is not your beautiful chat room.
Well,
oh, but I got
I've
through
met
it.
Adrian,
and
Adrian is hard. It's hard to follow. He is, but you did it because you're still around, and you are awesome. I think I've listened to two of your shows. I used to listen to three or four shows every week, but since I moved, I haven't been able to. We're still unpacking. What can I say? We're still unpacking. I've got a sewing room that I'm decorating. I still got to hang up everything to put all my mini bolts of yarn in and lay out my quilt.
I love. Oh, the chat room is so busy, and I love what that girl said.
I'm just reading that one right now.
Where she called into Gotti's show one night, and everyone was so sweet, and this is when she met me, Anne, and Roger. And she says, well, she's being self-depreciating. She said that we were all so nice about her putting her foot in her mouth, but she didn't. No. It's that's the beauty about Blog Talk Radio. It's unlike anything that anybody could ever experience in that we are such a family. When we lose a member of our little BTR family, it is it's felt. It's felt. Yeah.
It's our own family.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And this is what it's all about. And that when we lose one, we stick up, and we talk about it, and we share. And I aforementioned in the program earlier that Ann did not want a memorial, and it's like, too bad, Ann, you're getting one, because you are so important to us. I wish that our sweet Ann could see the chat room and all the people here. Talking and chatting back and forth and sharing fond memories. But then again, I think to myself, you know what? I think she can.
Yeah.
What I want to do, though, we're at the top of the hour, and there's another song here that I want to play. And Anne also had a very dear friend, Marianne. Right, Roger?
That is right. Yep. Marianne was one of her employees. And Marianne and I had talked a bit, and she said, I want you to play Garth Brooks' The Dance. And this one really fits in with me because Anne and I had talked over the past, not knowing that we would actually ever get to meet each other in person. And we had talked about getting together in heaven, looking for each other, in dancing in pure love, in front of God, Hashem, our Creator. And we actually talked about that when I was there with her. And over those few 64 hours that I was there with her. And, you know, when I was in the ICU, I placed my hand on hers and said, Lisa, remember our dance. So,
and with that,
go ahead and play Garth Brooks, The Dance.
You got her. You've got her.
Looking back on the memory of the dance we shared beneath the stars above. For a moment all the world was right, and how could I have known that you'd ever say goodbye? And now I'm glad I didn't know the way it all would end, the way it all would go. Our lives are better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, but I'd have had to miss the if I'd only known how the king would fall. Hey, who's to say? You know I might have changed it all. And now I'm glad I didn't know the way it all would end, the way it all would go.
Japanese use, and it's a term called kinsoko, and that translates literally into family. Now, this connotation, it suggests a bond between people who have made similar commitment and who possibly therefore share a similar destiny. It implies the presence of the deepest connection of friendship, of lives lived as comrades from the distant past. Now, many of us in our lives with whom we feel the bond is described by the word kinoko, my apologies. They mean like a family member, a mother, a brother, a daughter, a cousin, or it could be a friend from grammar school with whom we haven't talked in decades. But time and distance do nothing to diminish the bond we have with these kind of friends. That is kinsoko. Now, what draws people together as friends? Obviously, common interests, right? This can tie us closer to our friends than many would like to admit, because, When our interests diverge and we can find nothing to enjoy jointly, time spent together tend to rapidly diminish. Not that we don't care deeply about friends with whom we no longer share common interests, but it's probably uncommon for such friends to interact on a regular basis. That was not the case with Anne and myself. We share a history. There's nothing ties people together, even people with little in common, than having gone through the same difficult experience as the sole glue to keep friendships whole in the long run. However, it often dries, cracks, and ultimately fails. That did not happen with Anne and myself. Common values. Though not necessarily enough to create a friendship, if values are too divergent, it's difficult for a friendship to thrive. That did not happen to Anne and myself. Equality. If one friend needs the support of another on a consistent basis, such that the person dependent upon receives no benefits other than the opportunity to support and encourage, while the relationship may be significant and valuable, it cannot be said to define a true friendship. That was not Anne and myself. What makes a friend worthy of the name? A commitment to your happiness. A true friend is consistently willing to put your happiness before your friendship. It is said that good advice grates on the ear, but a true friend won't refrain from telling you something you don't want to hear, something that may even risk fracturing the friendship, if hearing it lies in your best interest. A true friend will not lack the mercy to correct you when you're wrong. A true friend will confront you with your drinking problems, your addiction problems, your other problems, as quickly as inform you about a malignant-like looking skin lesion on your back that you can't see for yourself. Not asking you to place a friendship before your principles, a true friend won't ask you to compromise your principles in the name of your friendship or anything else, ever. A good influence. A true friend inspires you to live up to your best potential, not to indulge in your basest drives. Anne was all of that to us. Anne saw my warts. I mentioned earlier in the program that a friend likes you no matter what stupid things you do. Anne could pretty much look into my soul and assess for herself that I've got myself a real good buddy here. Anne was committed to my happiness. She never asked me to compromise my principles, and Anne was a good influence. Anne was my kintsoku. And with that, I'm going to bring Jenny back on. And actually, before I do that, I have somebody right here that wants to join the conversation. And that's 1122. Hi, 1122. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me? Hi.
I can hear you fine.
Wonderful. This is the infamous Marianne, I guess.
Is that you, Marianne?
Yes.
How are you?
I'm still standing. I'm okay. Yeah. I haven't cried yet today. but yeah, I'm holding up. So, how are you?
I'm like you, Marianne. I'm standing up. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. It was so important to me to do this for Anne tonight. And Marianne, I'm so glad that you called in. I played your and Anne's song and the Roger song for our sweet Anne, and that, of course, was Garth Brooks' The Dance. I don't know if you had a chance to hear that.
I have known the song for a very, very long time. I can sing it back and forth when it's on the radio, of course, but... I've known that song for a very, very long time. I have yet to listen to it physically today. I know that I wasn't prepared to listen to it today because I know that I don't want to cry for her today because it's her birthday, and happy birthday, Lisa. I love you more than anything you'll ever know, and I tried to tell her that as often as I could, because she was
yeah.
an absolutely gracious, wonderful, wonderful woman, and she did so much for me in my life. And because of her, a lot of the times I was able to pick my head up as much as I may or may not have wanted to. So, yeah, I have heard the song. And it was very fitting that I at least told Roger to listen to it, and I'm glad that you listened to it, because it's a very, very powerful song. It's absolutely my dedication to her.
How did you know Anne, and how did you meet Anne?
We met.
I hear a laugh. Oh gosh, probably like me and her met.
No, we met physically in 2001. She was my area supervisor at the time at Papa John's, and I was a delivery driver. And I mean, this woman would terrify me. She terrified me personally. She terrified all of my coworkers. Anytime she would walk in the store, anytime we would see her car pulling up, we would scatter. Like, we would just, like, oh, gosh, here she comes, everybody run. She's gonna yell at us. She's going to, you know, she held our jobs in her very hands. And that's what we saw. But I recently told her that, that was in 2001, and, like, 2 weeks ago, I finally had the nerve to tell her that she scared the crap out of me when I first met her. But she laughed, of course. That's what I did. I made her laugh. And she would always tell me the story about, I don't know why I scared you so much. I always had a bowl of candy in the back room. I was always, you know, just waiting for somebody to come back there and talk to me. And I'm just like, you were a powerful force of nature. I would tell her that. Just, you were a scary woman. You were intimidating. And she was. She was powerful. She was hardworking. She was diligent. She would work for 26 plus of our stores, taking care of our payroll, you know, things that were important to us, like getting paid.
Yeah.
And she told me 100 times that her favorite thing about coming into my store was seeing my car in the parking lot, knowing that as soon as my shift was over that I would be in the back room singing, washing dishes. And she would just listen to me sing. So that's how I met her.
Oh. And the friendship held on for all those years, Marianne. And I think that is wonderful in that you overcame that nasty little boss.
We ended up losing our house. We went to New London, me and Nick. I'm sure anybody that's listening may or may not have heard about Nick. We were dating for almost 13 years, I'm sorry. We ended up shortly after, maybe after I left Papa John's, buying a house in New London, which we inevitably did lose. Circumstances weren't perfect, of course, but we ended up losing that house. And we were struggling for air, once again, trying to keep it together, and she ever so graciously just said, without even batting an eyelash, she said, come move in with me. And this was after she had suffered her incident, so it was, of course, beneficial to both of us, me, him, and herself, so that we could help her with her daily activities of cleaning her house, running her errands, things like that. So we lived in her basement, me and Nick together. And then, of course, Nick and I separated. We were never married or anything like that. But even through that, Lisa and I were constant friends. And she did. She literally saved my life on 100 different occasions and never asked for much in return, just for me to play Talk to Mario with her or to come upstairs and play a video game with her.
Yeah, keep her company. And when she offered her home to you, she was able-bodied. She didn't have to do that, but she did.
Right.
That was Anne's heart.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah. And Marianne?
Yes.
Any funny stories about Anne in her house and her dogs?
Oh, so many. Yeah. No, my favorite, absolutely favorite memory of her. I came home one day, and I don't know anybody that's seen my Facebook. She's constantly had me adding her friends on Facebook. But anybody that's read my Facebook recently has known that I taught her everything she knew in Dr. Mario, obviously. But I walk into the house one day, and she had just gotten herself a Wii to keep herself occupied. And I was crabby. I was just, you know, I had a really bad day at work. I'm just like, I look her stone cold in the face. I'm like, no, I have no idea. I've never played it. And she's like, well, do you want to? And I'm like, I just want to take a nap, really, but you know what? It's Dr. Mario, so I kind of have to. So I changed.
Yeah.
I went downstairs, and I changed my clothes, and I came back upstairs, and I sat down on her couch. And probably about 15 rounds in to this game, she kind of got the idea that maybe I was not quite forthcoming with my ability at Dr. Mario because I have been playing it since 1985. My mother is actually the one that taught me, and I got to teach her because she had legitimately never played, but I had forever, for as long as I can remember. And I could have sworn at any moment in time there was going to be a Wii remote coming up over her computer and cracking me right in the noggin. So, yeah, playing Dr. Mario with her, she just, like, got so mad at me when we were playing that, and we would argue back and forth at each other, just, but that release from having that probably one of the worst days ever and going home and playing Dr. Mario with her was probably the highlight of every day that I lived with her. Every day.
Marianne, that is so, gosh, I love that. You know, Roger is still here. Do you want to say hi to Roger?
Yes.
Hi, Roger.
Hello, Marianne.
Hello.
It was fun meeting you. I got a kick out of when you showed up there and we met and you were putting together your pirate costume to go jump in the lake after they came through the hole.
Pirate costume?
Yep. That was the day before I was doing the polar plunge, yeah.
Yeah.
I know I told you, but probably a number of times that she was grateful to have you in her life, and she loved that you were with her and that she loved having you to talk to, and she talked about you constantly, and she's, I'm Skyping with Roger today and this, that, and the other thing, and all the time, you were on her mind, you were in her words, and you were in her thoughts, and you gave her, like, I already told you, I know, but I'm telling you now in person, kind of, even though you're back home.
In public.
And, yeah.
Worldwide.
That you were what she needed. That one of the things that I couldn't give her, that unconditional love. And I mean, well, I gave her unconditional love, but I'm not a man. And she needed that. She needed that love and that support from a man. And you gave her that, and you gave her so much. And I was so devastated by the fact that she passed away when she did, but I know that she held on to beat you.
Yeah.
I know that she stayed in her form, her physical form, until she met you. I know that she did, because she had been wanting to let go for a very, very long time, but she talked about you all the time, and she was so scared that she wouldn't be able to meet you. And she did. And she had that. And Roger, I talked to Nick today. I finally did get to go talk to Nick. I haven't seen him since. But I did talk to him today.
How's Nick holding up?
I told him straight to his face. He looks like hell. But he is. He's only suffered one other loss of somebody close to him in his life, and that was his grandmother. So he's not really well. I hate to say that I'm well versed in it, but part of my life, most of my life, has been caregiving. So I'm almost not immune to it, but I've seen it so many times before. And this was his first
I was wondering that Jenny is here right now, Marianne. Would you like to speak with Jenny?
Sure.
Hi,
Jenny.
Really met, hi. I haven't really met Marianne.
No, I don't believe we met.
She said, sure, because I talked to Anne a lot.
Yes.
And she talked to me about Marianne and how great she was at helping her and how she didn't know what she would do, you know, without her because she took care of things that, you know, would be embarrassing to have a total stranger come in and help do for you with her in the condition she was in.
Hey.
You know, but, and I have to say, that takes a special kind of love for someone to be able to do, to bathe somebody and clean up after them, you know. And it's a special kind of love to be able to do that. It also takes a special kind of love to let
somebody do that. We're getting ready to wrap up the show in a few moments. I book it for 2 hours, but I usually do 90 minutes on Fridays. But what I want to do is that I want to give Marianne a couple of moments of her memories of Anne. And
yes.
Then I want to pass it to Jenny, and then I'm, of course, going to pass it to Roger.
Okay.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and thank you for letting me hear that. I would have moved the world for her. I would have done anything for her. Absolutely anything. So, yeah, okay.
Hey, Marianne, I'm going to look you up on Facebook.
Okay, I will gladly accept friend requests. She sent me so many of her friends. I mean, her friends on Facebook were absolutely her life. That was what she had to communicate, to talk to people. And her friends on Facebook were her world. That was her world. That
mm-hmm.
when I couldn't be there,
yeah.
or when Nick couldn't
yeah.
be there, or my best friend Chris couldn't be there to help her or talk to her, she, you know, would just talk to her friends online, and that was her outlet. And anytime she wasn't online, there was a buzz in the town of Mena, and, you know, in Wisconsin, there was an absolute buzz. Is Lisa okay? Did you go check on Lisa today? Marianne, what are you doing? Can you go make sure Lisa's okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'll go over there. And 97% of the time, it was just that her computer had crashed. And I come busting in the front door, and I'm like, are you okay? She says, hi, honey. What's up? And I would look at her, and I'd be like, you have any idea what you're putting people through? I just had to rush over here to your house to make sure you're okay. I've got Chris on the phone. I've got Dan on the phone. I got this person and that person on the phone. And I'd take a deep breath, and I'd be like, I'm good.
Oh, God, Marianne, you're multitasking. Absolutely. Marianne, please
yes.
Keep in touch with me, because I know how much Anne loved you and how much you loved her, and please keep in touch with me and keep in touch with Roger and Jenny as well.
Yes, of course. And my only other request, since I got my getting that Garth Brooks song out to you guys, is in Lisa Ann's memory, please plant a sunflower for her and me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sunflowers that I know will turn naturally to the sun to grow, and they mean a lot to me, and I told her that all the time. So in memory, I'm not going to give her a eulogy. I'm not going to cry anymore for her today. I'm just glad I got through and got to tell everybody, you know, so I do exist. but plant a sunflower in her memory.
Oh.
Marianne, Thank you so much. Jenny, would you like to offer your parting words in that we're honoring our aunt tonight?
Yes. Comes to mind that Anne kind of said it, that a lady that I go to church with said, we were talking about soulmates one time, and she said she believed we have many in different forms. So all of us who Anne touched the way she did, and it was almost like we knew all our life, although we didn't, is kind of like a soulmate. And I think all of us are going to hold on to a piece of her soul until we're going to be reunited with her again in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Paradise, whatever you want to call it. Because she touched our lives and we touched hers. Sometimes it's not, we don't need someone to help us through our problems. We need someone to help us forget about ours. And she, I think, in helping me through mine, it was almost like her way of forgetting about hers. You know, and I will never, ever forget her. And I thank Roger for introducing me to her. So,
Jenny, I am so glad that you called in tonight as well, because as I mentioned, Anne didn't want any memorial, but we're giving her one. So suck it up, Anne. She always said to me, suck it up, Kel. So suck it up, Anne. Jenny, bless you. God bless you, and thank you so very much. And I'm going to pass it over to Roger right now. And Roger.
Okay, I guess I'm going to button up with my chat with Ann previous to flying up there to see her. And I asked her, what else do you want? You know, I've got some cheese and a couple steaks and some hamburger. And I've got my movies packed up for us to watch. And what else do you want? And she just said, your arms.
Ah, oh, beautiful.
And
Roger,
for some people that have
so
known me for a,
for
some people that know me for a long time, I haven't let my hair grow for 15 years, and I let my hair and my beard grow, and I've been posting.
You're Grizzly Adams.
I've been posting my hair and beard. And Anne was loving it. And there, I forget which night
you
it was.
Old.
And she looked at me and says, oh, I got me a handsome man.
I would like to see a contrasting picture of you when you were in the military. And
oh,
now.
I was
well,
not military. No, I just...
Oh,
you
weren't. Oh, okay.
No,
oh, I
just,
thought you were. But you know what? I'd like to see a picture of you maybe when you were in college and you had to do those college photos, for example, with the parted hair down the side and it was all short and everything like that.
No, I don't even do that. I just used the mustache and beard trimmer and took my whole head and mustache, beard, and trimmed it to skin level.
Oh, there you go.
But Ann loved my
we have
Ann loved my hair.
We have another caller here, Roger,
and I've got
let's
one
bring
more
him on because
I've got one more shits and giggles for you.
Okay.
And that was from a Skype call that was over Labor Day weekend this last year. And Ann had a granddaughter, Lily, snuggled with her at the computer while Ann and I did a Skype call. Now, little Lily didn't say a peep, but she listened to me and Ann talking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is Ann's son's daughter. And I found out from Ann's son that, oh, yeah, Lily told us about that. She said she met Grandma's internet boyfriend, and he is so cool.
Oh, there you go. Roger, we have 6842 joining us right now. Hi, 6842.
Thank you, baby. Hey, Kale. Hello, everyone. I wish you all well. I'm not as close or was close to Ann as you all. I can see that from the conversation. But I am profoundly moved tonight through this conversation. And, Roger, I highly commend you, sir, on the sacrifice and work you did for this person. That gives me a little hope.
Oh,
that there is still
and
good
6842, out there. I apologize. Do you have a name?
Oh, this is Terry, Kel. Her.
Oh, Terry, thank you.
Hey, Terry.
Hey, Roger and ladies. Let me say this real quick. I won't keep you. There's a couple of people that there's three of them dead now that used to live across the street, and this happened within the past 4 months. And there was one of them that just a little alcoholic, maybe junkie, I don't know, but I kind of shunned the guy. And as you were talking, Roger and Kel, I looked at Janet and said, I'm going to start being nicer to people because you never know when someone's life is just going to end, your own or anyone.
Terry,
and this,
exactly.
I think it's been a profound effect. You know, he was just a poor old soul out there, and I kind of shunned him. It's so hard to trust people these days within the inner city. And
yeah.
I come back to Ohio about 5 years ago, and it's a totally different world. But I wasn't as close to Ann as you guys, but every time she would post her artwork and ask people to order things and send their pictures in so she could paint them and whatever, I would immediately share it because I knew that she was in a bad way.
That's right.
And she, that's pretty much all I have to say is I love y'all, and it's a difficult world here.
God bless you all.
And Jan saying, God bless you all. I am really moved over her death. I'm kind of a hard butt, but it just moves me. And God bless
Terry,
you, Roger. You did well.
Thank you. Thank
you
so
Terry.
Much for calling in.
You're
it's
welcome,
so much
dear.
Appreciated.
Love
you too.
The,
I love everybody that is honoring Ann tonight.
This big, fuzzy, 5'11", 260-pound Roger cried his eyes out, so I'll tell you what.
Well, thank you for what you did for her.
You're welcome. Thank you, Terry.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank
you,
Terry, so very much.
You're
Terry,
welcome.
Have a wonderful evening.
Okay, you too, dear. We love you guys, and I'll talk to you at some other point in time. Roger, I'm going to track you down.
All right, Terry.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Terry.
Oh.
And there you go, Roger. And
that was
like,
sweet.
Yeah, that was wonderful. I so appreciate people that have been calling in and speaking with the issue, which is it's not an issue. It's a personal thing. Like I get, you know, Roger, I get into this mode, and as you know, my radio shows, they center around things and their issues. Anne is not an issue. Anne is our
friend.
And,
our love.
And,
our...
Yeah, and I want to thank you, Roger, for sitting with me and helping me through this because I don't think I would have been able to do it without you.
There's times where we'd have both been blubbering and crying and weeping, but we made it through. I prayed over this before
Absolutely.
We got on so that we could get through.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to let you go because I'm going to play us out, but I have a playlist here of some songs that Anne liked, and I'm going to close out with the final song in a moment. And that is something for you and Anne, and I'll play. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm just going to play it.
Okay.
But Roger, thank you so very much, and I'll be speaking with you on Skype shortly. You bet.
Oh yeah, I'll Skype with you after the show's done. Yep.
Okay.
All right.
You got her.
Thank you, Kel. You rock. Good
Thanks,
night.
Thanks, Roger.
All right. Bye.
Good night. I want to thank everybody that joined us in honoring Anne, Lisa, Anne, Anderlees. I want to thank Jenny, Marianne, Terry. I want to thank Roger, especially, for being here. This was, I thought it was going to be a lot tougher to do, but you know what? I was sitting down with myself today, and I had a little, I did an Anne talk, and an Anne talk is a pep talk, and she sits you down and she says that, okay, here is your windows, and you look at this window, you look at that window, you look at that window, and you look outside each window, and something out there is outside the box, and that's how you do it. Now, I know this sounds really strange, but that's just the way that Anne and I, we would have a conversation. I spoke with Anne so many times about how am I going to go about this and that and the other thing. But I wasn't always reliant on her when it came to my radio shows. I was reliant on her for so many other things. She was there for me when I lost my cat, and she was there for me when my dog went blind. Like, you know that Anne loved the animals. Anne was there for me when I scraped my knee and needed a Band-Aid. Anne was there for me when I just needed to share something that happened in my day. Anne was there for me when I was planting my garden. Anne was there for me when I was having a rather frustrating moment. Anne was there for me when I was asking her about recipes for maybe Hanukkah. Anne was there for me when I just needed to cry. Anne was there for me all the time. And, you know, Anne is not physically there anymore. But you know what? Anne is always there with me in my heart. Anne, we love you so much, and you will never, ever, ever vacate that place in our hearts that we have for you, Anne. Never. I'm going to close out. This is actually a song for Anne and for Roger. Everybody, have a great night, and thank you very much for joining me and Roger. And Marianne, and Terry, and Jenny.
We are, we share a bed, love and sometimes when you're asleep and I'm just staring at the ceiling. I wanna reach out and touch it, but you just go on dreaming. If I could take you to heaven.